Greetings, brothers and sisters, misses and misters, dreadlocks and rastas. Reggae world music.
Music. Strictly Roman Obina the Pong. Strictly Yard Music. Explosion. Coming to the nation with version.
Hello and welcome in once again to Ian's House of Reggae, House of Reggae, House of Reggae, House of Reggae, here on www.reggaeworldmusic.com for another 60 minutes of fine Jamaican music. And today we're going to be exploring a musical phenomenon which was pioneered in the recording studios of Kingston back at the beginning of the 1970s and which has gone on to inspire and influence record producers and musicians all over the world, as it's time for the House of Reggae's Dub Special. This is Psalms of Dub, which was mixed by King Tubby and initially came out as a B-side of Carlton and Leroy's Not Responsible single on the Black and White label in 1974, and which was produced by Carlton Patterson, and can now be found on several compilations, such as Black and White in Dub on the Hot Pot label. And so today, I'm picking out just a few of my favourite dubs from the 1970s to help tell a story of how a handful of men mastered the rudimentary recording equipment and mixing desks of Jamaica and transformed recorded music into something that no one had ever heard before, as the vocals and lead instruments were removed or echoed into oblivion, while the bass and drums were swathed in reverb and delay to ensure maximum effect when played out on a large sound system. And so, to begin at the beginning, we've got to head back to the 1960s. And while the rest of the pop music world was being adventurous and creative in their recording techniques, whether it was Phil Spector and his Wall of Sound, or the Beatles at Abbey Road, most recording studios in Jamaica were prehistoric by comparison, as they continued to record live in the studio onto basic two-track tapes. However, even as early as Prince Buster in his King of Ska heyday, Jamaican producers were making second or third versions of their previously recorded tracks, when they would remove the original vocal and either replace it with a DJ, a saxophone, a keyboard, or in the incidental case of Lee Perry's Return of Django, just leave it blank. But this was also something that had appeared in American soul music, as 7-inch releases would sometimes come with a version 2 on the B-side. But around the turn of the 1970s in Jamaica, something strange began developing, as men like Lee Perry, Joe Gibbs, and studio engineer Linford Anderson began experimenting with their master tapes, and instead of recording a new instrumental or DJ version, started remixing the original rhythm to either drop out or accentuate different instruments at different stages of the tune, as can be heard in this early proto-dub, which started out life as a DJ track, Herbman Shuffle by King Stitt, but here was broken down to its fundamental core in the appropriately named Phantom.
Thank you.
Darkest Phantom, one of the very earliest dub mixes, and was produced by Clancy Eccles and mixed by Linford Anderson at the state-of-the-art Dynamic Studio back in 1970. And it originally came out on the Dynamite label in Jamaica and the Clandis label in the UK, and can now be found on the Pressure Sounds compilation titled Sound System International Dub.
This station rocked the nation with sound vibration.
And so these minimalist dub versions that started turning up on the B-sides of 7-inch releases at the beginning of the 1970s had two great advantages for the cash-strapped record producer. Firstly, it was a cost-effective way of filling up the flip side of their single, and secondly, they could then be played by the sound system selectors for the DJs to toast over the top of them live in the dance, thus ensuring maximum exposure for their record. But within a couple of years, the dub version was becoming an art form in and of itself, and so another studio engineer who helped pioneer this development was Errol Thompson, who, while still only 19 years old, began an apprenticeship at Studio One in 1968, graduating the following year to the newly upgraded Randy Studio on North Parade, where he teamed up with his old school friend Clive Chin, who was taking over his father's studio as the in-house producer. And they worked together on numerous sessions in the early 70s, and using the 4-track mixing desk, Errol was able to take apart the recorded rhythm, leaving just the bass and the drums, while punching the other instruments in and out of the mix, as can be heard on this dub version of Augustus Pablo's melodica classic, Java. Was Errol Thompson manipulating the 4-track mixing desk in Randy's studio with Java Dub, which was the opening track on the 1973 album Java, 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 which was one of a trio of dub albums which appeared in Jamaica that year. And by this stage, Errol was so confident in his mixing technique that he ended the album with a lesson in dub when he dismantled the rhythm track of Lloyd Parks' Ordinary Man to show us all how to dub it.
Dub it.
Right now, I'm gonna go show you how to operate, right? Watch the bass now. hear the bass, though it sound wrong. You so it's watch, just put, listen to the bass. You so it make the girl them a wiggle them waist. Alright, listen to the drum then. Them drum they will make you dumb in the eye. Right? Listen to the guitar them now. Hear them guitar the sharp and nice. Them guitar they will make man jitter. Listen to everything now.
Slide down with it.
Do it.
Wonderful stuff, as that was Errol Thompson showing us all how it was done, Randy style.
Lord of mercy.
But now it's time to move across town to Dromoley Avenue in Waterhouse, where electronic engineer Osborne Ruddock had been working out of his mother's house, repairing amplifiers and radios, until in 1968, when he set up his own sound system, King Tubby's Hometown Hi-Fi. And employing the then unknown U-Roy as his DJ at the dances, Tubby's soon became the number one sound in Kingston. He then expanded his enterprise in 1972 when he bought a second-hand four-track mixing console from the Dynamic Studio, along with two four-track tape machines, and he set them up in his home along with his own modified echo and reverb effects. But not having a space to record new music, he offered his services to other producers to bring him their own rhythm tracks, which he could then remix into the new dub style. And one of his first customers was the ever-inventive Lee Scratch Perry, and the pair worked together on a series of upsetter rhythms, with Tubby doing a dub mixing, while Scratch added esoteric sounds over the top, as can be heard on their split stereo remix of the Fever Rhythm, which they called Drum Rock.
Welcome to Blackboard Jungle, Part 2.
You little sound fool of a guesser. You always come in to mingle up with good people sound. And you don't have any doublet to stick around. Run out the town, come selector.
Well, that's what happens when you get two geniuses working together in a small room, as that was Drum Rock, the opening track from Side 2 of the 14-dub Blackboard Jungle album, which first appeared in a limited 300-only copy release on the Upsetter label back in 1973, but can now be found on CD via the Auralux label.
Believe me, that is the wickedest sound I play.
And of course, we'll be hearing more from King Tubby Studio later on in the show. But first up, it's worth noting that with the release of these albums in 1973, the dub was becoming a musical form in its own right, and it could be listened to separately, away from normal vocal or instrumental reggae. And so another producer who caught on to this fact early was Keith Hudson, whose small-time operation had seen him have hits with the likes of Big Youth and Horace Andy in the early 70s. And so he hired time in Harry J's newly opened 16-track studio to remix his rhythms in this new emerging style for a full-length album release called Pick a Dub. And so from that album, here's a full-on dub version of Horace Andy's Don't Think About Me.
Don't Think About Me. Don't Think About Me. Can you see the musical ambassadors getting
Don't think about me, I'm all check yourself, 'cause
Keith Hudson at the controls there, echoing Horace Andy to good effect with I'm All Right, which is taken from his Pick a Dub album and which came out in 1974 on the Rockers University label in Jamaica and the Atra label in the UK, making it the first dub album to get an official release outside of Jamaica and therefore help spread this new vibrating dub sound around the world.
This station rules the nation. With version.
And so, carrying on our journey through this decade of dub, we're going to make another stop off at King Tubby's home studio.
Do it!
as by the mid-1970s, Tubby had mastered his equipment and was utilising the effects in his four-track mixer in ways that no one else had thought of, especially the high-pass filter, which was initially designed to remove or lessen any unwanted bass frequencies which might have seeped into a recording. But in Tubby's hands it became an instrument in itself, as he pushed it to its extremes to alter various parts of the rhythm track to create a splashing sensation that seemed to turn the recording inside out and make the music jump out of the speaker at you, as can be heard in his glorious dub of Augustus Pablo's theme song.
Yeah, Master Roman.
I
what a whole lot of version and this is a rhythm I'm going to
see. Just can't survive.
Right now, I'm going to turn on a ya. Free a ya, rhythm marker.
Seemingly dripping with sweat in the hot Kingston night, that was Tubby's dub song, the dub version to Augustus Pablo's theme song, which initially came out on 7-inch vinyl in 1975 on the Pablo International label.
Right now, we've been wonderful surrounded by all these bubbles of talent.
And of course, it was a whole basketful of Pablo's rhythms which Tubby remixed to create probably the most famous dub album of them all, King Tubby's Meets Rockers Uptown. And by this stage, many of the island's top producers were knocking on the dubmaster's door with their rhythm tracks in their hands, wanting that unique dub sound on their versions. And so other full-length albums which appeared out of Dromoly Avenue in the mid-70s include Dubbing with the Observer, King Tubby's Prophecy of Dub, The Roots of Dub, and Dub from the Roots, the last two of which were of Bunny Lee's productions, whose own flyer style of reggae rhythm with its incessant hi-hat sound were perfect to receive the Tubby remix treatment. And so here's probably my favourite dub in that style, as it showcases perfectly how King Tubby could transform a rhythm into a mini 3-minute soundscape, as the vocals and horns are echoed into oblivion before returning back into themselves with a wonderful delay effect, while the hi-hat is transformed with a high-pass filter, and the bass drops out of the mix entirely to leave the listener floating in midair before dropping back in with a thunderous wallop. as this is the You're All I've Got version.
From Tubby's studio, we bring you Dubwise.
Bratos, take this one.
Comfort me.
Extraordinary dub version there of John Holt's You're All I've Got, which was mixed at King Tubby Studio and initially came out on the 7-inch on the Weed Beat label in Jamaica and the Caribbean label in the UK in 1976, and which was later compiled by the Trojan label for their Dub Jackpot release.
Version galore. Play it some more.
And so, once again, we will be returning to the Dubmaster's magical mixing desk later on in the show. But for now, it's time to drop in and visit other Kingston studios to see and hear how they were adapting to the new dub craze, as even established setups like Treasure Isle and Studio One were delving into their back catalogues and giving their foundation rhythms a dub treatment on a series of album releases in the mid-70s, while newer establishments like the Hooking Brothers Channel One Studio took a more restrained approach to their versioning, as their new rocker style of reggae, where Sly Dunbar's intricate drumming and Ranchy McLean's deep bass were proving hugely popular on the sound systems. And so they decided that less is more when it came to dub effects and preferred to give space for the powerful underlying rhythms to speak for themselves, as can be heard on the version side of Leroy Smart's classic Ballistic Affair.
Thank you.
cook items too together.
Powerful bass-driven dub there, straight from the Channel 1 studio, as you just heard the B-side to Leroy Smart's Ballistic Affair 7-inch, which came out in Jamaica on the Well Charge label in 1976. And that dub can also be found on the Pressure Sounds compilation of Channel 1's versions, titled Maxfield Avenue Breakdown, Dubs and Instrumentals. But now we're going to make the short journey from Maxfield Avenue over to Retirement Crescent, where in 1975 producer Joe Gibbs opened a brand new 16-track studio, which was a culmination of 7 years' hard work in the Kingston record business. And knowing this was a make-or-break time for him, he managed to persuade seasoned dub veteran Errol Thompson away from Randy's studio to become his own in-house engineer. And over the next few years, a pair of them would often work together behind the mixing desk, where they obviously had a lot of fun, as naming themselves the Mighty Two, the dubs which emerged were often inventive, experimental, and sometimes downright silly, as they threw everything into the mix, including the kitchen sink, the telephone, the doorbell, the cuckoo clock, and even next door's dog, which resulted in a 4-volume African Dub Almighty series of albums, which proved hugely popular abroad and helped spread the groundbreaking world of dub music. And so from the Chapter 3 album, this is Jubilation Dub.
From the number one station, here comes the power version. We'll be right back.
just want.
That was a Mighty Two totally reinventing Dennis Brown's repatriation into Jubilation Dub, which you can find on the African Dub Almighty Chapter 3 album, which came out on the Joe Gibbs label in Jamaica and the Lightning label in the UK back in 1978, and which has since been reissued by the VP label.
This version is by the young and old generation.
And so, continuing our tour of the major recording studios of mid-70s Jamaica, our next stop off is at 5 Cardiff Crescent in Kingston, the home of Lee Scratch Perry, Lee Scratch Perry, Lee Scratch Perry, where in 1973, after saving up enough money from his early reggae hits, he built his own recording studio in his back garden, and naming it the Black Ark, it started out life with just a basic 4-track recording desk, a tape echo and a spring reverb. But this still allowed Lee to transfer his vivid imagination into some experimental dubs and versions, which resulted in a quartet of albums in 1975, which all displayed various dub techniques. But the following year, he added on a Roland Space Echo and a Mutron Phaser unit to his setup, which distorted the recorded music to give the rhythm a spongy, liquid feel, and which over the next couple of years helped create the now world-famous Black Ark sound. And in a noticeable difference to both Channel One and Joe Gibbs, Lee liberally employed these dub effects to his vocal recordings as well as the version sides. And on an album like Super Ape, he created a vocal DJ and dub hybrid that transported recorded music into a parallel universe where everything was sort of familiar, but at the same time was also very different. And similarly, on the dub I've chosen for you today, which comes from a 12-inch which Lee mixed in his laboratory of sound in 1977, the rhythm is drowning in echo and reverb, but he occasionally allows it back up to the surface again for a quick breather before submerging it back down into the depths of dub, as this is the sibling vocal duet called Twin Roots with No Love.
Show that already. You never show.
Simply Breathless dub version to Twin Roots' No Love, which came out on 12-inch on Lee Perry's Black Art label in 1977 and was later reissued on a legendary box set, Open the Gate, on the Trojan label.
Music is my occupation, good for meditation, great for inspiration.
And so the 12-inch single was probably the best showcase for the dub version during the late 1970s, thanks to the wider grooves that were cut into the vinyl, which enabled a greater dynamic range of sound, and which in turn helped emphasise dub's broad spectrum, from quiet breakdowns to loud booming bass sections. And it also allowed the more adventurous producers and engineers more space to stretch out their rhythms on the whole of the B-side into an extended dub mix, a technique which had also taken off in disco around the same time, and which crossed over into the pop world the following decade. And so for a great example of this, we must head back to King Tubby's studio, where by now he was withdrawing from the hands-on mixing work himself and passing on his knowledge and techniques to the next generation. And in this case, his longtime friend Lloyd James, a.k.a. Prince Jammy, who made his name in the late 70s with wild dub versions like this one, which turned up on the B-side as a 12-inch to the Morwell's Kingston 12 Tuffy, and which was called Jammin' for Survival.
We'll be right back.
Prince Jammy at the controls there, with Jammin' for Survival, which took up the whole of the B-side as a 12-inch release of the Morwell's Kingston 12 Tuffy, and which came out on the Attack label in the UK in 1979, and has since been compiled by the Trojan label for their box set, Haul and Pull Up Selector.
Then Bongo Dashi, you like that version, yes, sir?
Yes, I.
And so in the second half of the 1970s, it seemed that every reggae producer on the island was remixing their own rhythms and releasing dub albums alongside their vocal counterparts. And this further developed into the short craze for showcase albums, where the vocals and dubs were mixed together to create a 6-minute long track. But for our final dub of the day, we must feature the last great dub hero of this era, one Overton Brown, aka Scientist.
Scientist.
Who was still a teenager in the late 70s when he got a job as an electrical apprentice at King Tubby Studio. But one day in 1979, when Prince Jammy was unavailable, he got his chance on the now world-famous mixing board, as producer Henry Junjo Laws wanted some rhythms mixed. So Scientist took the initiative and did them himself. And when one of them became a hit, Junjo returned with more rhythms specifically for Scientist to mix. And so his reputation grew rapidly, as other producers like Linville Thompson and Don Mays soon came knocking for that special Scientist mix on their records, which resulted in a wealth of stunning B-sides and a now legendary series of albums on the Greensleeves label. But the one I've picked out for you today is another 12-inch extended mix, which Scientist created out of Barry Brown's Mr. CID, as this is called King Tubby's Rockers.
King Tubby's Rockers. King Tubby's Rockers. King Tubby's
Rockers. As the aim is the DJ, I love the way you really play. And the way you do it, believe me, you keep me skanking all night and all day.
That was Scientist in Fine Style there, with his extended dub version mix of Barry Brown's Mr. CID, which initially came out as a B-side of a 12-inch on the Attack label in 1980, and has since been compiled by Trojan Records for their dub CD titled Flashing Echo. But Scientist's spaced-out, bass-heavy dub versions in the early 80s was the genre's last great hurrah in Jamaica, as the heavily mixed dub version had fallen out of fashion. And although 7 and 12-inch singles still continue to feature a version side, they increasingly became basic rhythm tracks for DJs to toast over. But the groundbreaking work, some of which I've featured today, didn't go unnoticed around the world, as it proved inspirational for new dub genres to flourish, particularly in the UK, where the likes of Jar Shaka and Mad Professor kept the dub flame burning bright throughout the 1980s, while the whole idea of taking a track to be remixed by someone else caught on like wildfire with the international rise of dance music. And of course, the actual mixing techniques which emphasised the bass, while the vocals and melodies were echoed and distorted all around it, were particularly prominent in many dance music genres. None of which would have sounded the same if it hadn't been for the innovative and experimental engineers and producers in Jamaica back in the 1970s, who heard music in a very different way, and on their small four-track mixing desks were able to create a new and long-lasting style of music, which they called dub. So that is my lot for today, and I'd like to thank you very much for tuning in, and I hope you've enjoyed the trip. And if you did, then you can always go and check out some of the old shows at the homepage at houseofreggae.podomatic.com. Or you can come and join me each and every Friday from 8 p.m. UK time for the live show on www.reggaeworldmusic.com for some more fine Jamaican music here in Ian's House of Reggae. 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 House of Reggae.